the unregenerate life, that life that is ungodly. Do you remember what the four characteristics are? What was the first one? Intellectual futility. We'll get that one of these days, probably, won't we? The second one is ignorance of God's truth. The third is moral and spiritual callousness. That was the message last week. And this one, bless you, has to do with sensuality, but how you arrive at the sensuality part is depravity of mind, a depraved mind. The King James Version calls it a reprobate mind. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians 4, and we're going to read verses 17 through 19. Again, if you can, stand with me, please, out of reverence to the reading of God's Word. If you cannot, He knows that you're revering Him anyway. So, Ephesians 4, starting with verse 17. Are we there? So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for this hour together. Thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts in a very personal and powerful and maybe even a profound way. Remove any and all distractions so that we can keep our focus on you and what you're trying to tell us. Help us to see ourselves in your word. Again, we ask your anointing to be upon your humble servant. I give myself to you. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to say what you want me to say. And help us all, including myself, to hear what we need to hear. Thank you for the results. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. This has been kind of a drawn-out passage of Scripture, but there's a lot of stuff in this passage of Scripture that we need to look at. This is what a born-again believer is not. That's what we're looking at. This is what a born-again believer isn't. But a lot of people like to take a hold of these things and allow them to be a part of their life and call themselves a born-again believer. Look, I asked this question, or I made this statement last week and many times before. The passage of Scripture, I can't remember what it is, but it says, "Let God be truth and every man a liar." You can believe God, men lie. God does not lie. He's truth. He tells truth. So He's bringing the truth to us in a way that we can understand it. 2 Corinthians 5:18. If a man is in Christ, if he's born again, if he's saved, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. That old man, that old nature has passed away. Behold, says in the King James, and I like that. Behold, it means there's something you can see. There's evidence that all things have become new. So, does that mean you remain the same then if you're born again? No, you are completely new. And we're going to get to that maybe next week. I don't know. We'll just wait and see what happens. But it should be the next message on the agenda. Because we're going to finish up with these four characteristics of the unregenerate life, the ungodly life that does not honor God in any way, shape, or form, but is in total selfishness. This last characteristic is a depraved mind, and it takes you places that you probably really don't want to be. It's like I said, with a born-again believer, we are redeemed. We're redeemed. Our soul and our spirit is redeemed. God, we're bought with a price. God bought us with a terrible price. It cost the life of his son. He paid dearly for us that believe, those of us that believe. But this body, this one right here, is not redeemed. It's not redeemed. It's the only part of me that's not redeemed. One day it will be. I'm going to get a new body, praise God. Isn't that right, Brother Barry? One of these days, we're going to get a new body, and it's going to go along with this new spirit that we have, this regenerated spirit, this spirit that's of God and the nature of God. It's all going to go together. That's right, Brother Trevor. A new body, praise God.
Praise God for that.
And there's a lot of us that can say that. It just happened to hit me just then. The fact of the matter is, we've got this body that's got five senses to take us everywhere but where God wants us to go or where we want to go. So if you have your brain is flesh of some sort. It's part of your body. So the way you think is going to dictate the way you live your life. And the fact of the matter is that when you're born again, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, and I'm going to repeat the King James because I know what it says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So a mind transformation takes place when we're born again. God does something in our mind. Your conscience also becomes more vivid. You notice that? Where your conscience didn't bother you too much before, when you get saved, it bothers you a whole lot more then. And you see, that's God's built-in warning light, warning signal for the soul that you shouldn't go there. That's what your conscience is. So you don't go there. And we've even been stopped before. We might entertain something, stopped before we ever even thought about going there because we knew because of our conscience, that warning signal that we should not go there because it will not glorify God. And it'd be the wrong thing for us, for sure. So we've got a renewal of the mind, but see that brain is still made out of flesh and it's unredeemed. So we've got to keep it in check. Just like where they keep this body in check. You see, that renewal of the mind means that we're going to do as Philippians 4 and verse 8 tells us to do, which is to think properly. Those things that are honest and true and just and pure and lovely and good report, those things that are excellent or virtuous, those things that are praiseworthy, think on those things, the Apostle Paul says. So we have a new goal to reach as far as our thought processes go as well. So it starts with the transformation of the mind. But an unregenerate person, the farther they go in sin, the more easy it is to sin, it brings you to a place of a depraved mind. And we're gonna look at what that is. Futile self-centered thinking, ignorance of truth, and moral and spiritual callousness ultimately lead to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That was the passage of scripture we just left with a little opener attached to the front end of it. Let me read that again. Futile self-centered thinking. Ignorance of truth and moral and spiritual callousness ultimately lead to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. This sensuality, in the Greek, it's asalgia, refers to total licentiousness. That what that is having the feeling that you have the license to do whatever you want. And I think of our society today and the condition it's in and things that are going on that seem to be acceptable these days. I mean, the things that would just absolutely turn one's stomach years ago, our Supreme Court has said it's okay now. You go ahead and do whatever you want to do. There's an agenda there. I'm not going to go there tonight. There's an agenda there. It's backed by the pit and the prince of the pit to dismantle humanity at its core. Oh, yeah. If he hasn't been able to do it in the past, we are progressing to such a level today that we should be allowed to do anything uninhibited because we want to. Okay? That's where we're at. I could care less about a bunch of rogue lawyers that think they know what they're doing because they haven't the foggiest idea who they're dealing with. Their authority was given to them by God, the supreme judge. They're going to have to give an account one of these days. They're not even taking that into account, but they're going to have to give an account someday. That Greek word, asalgia, it refers to total licentiousness, a license to do whatever you want because you want to do it. Completely absent of all moral restraint, especially when it comes to sexual sins. Boy, we see that today, don't we? Listen to this. One commentator of the says that the term relates to a disposition of the soul. Listen to this. You're going to get a good grip on this here. It expresses a disposition of the soul incapable of bearing the pain of discipline. That's how far gone we are. That's how far gone our society is. Incapable of bearing the pain of discipline? They're so far in sin, that's all they know. For pity's sakes, don't make me do what's right. Oh, that's unbearable. That's where we're at. The idea is that of unbridled self-indulgence and undisciplined obscenity. The Apostle Peter describes those who indulge in the corrupt desires of the flesh as those who despise authority. Turn over to 2 Peter with me there a minute. Just a few pages over. We're going to take a look at this. 2 Peter. I'll get there eventually. I did have it marked. I should have. 2 Peter chapter 2. And let me see. Verse 10. Now, what this is talking about is false teachers that are part of the so-called church, and they're involved in these doctrines of demons and whatever else. They're not sticking to the Word of God, and they're not teaching the Word of God. They're teaching their own doctrine, which comes right straight out of the pit. But they're calling it church, see? And that's what a lot of places that call themselves church today are doing. I can think of several names I'm not going to mention. Listen to this. This is what he says they are. Daring. Daring. The very first word is daring. Self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. So we're talking about them talking about those servants of God that serve God in the heavenlies. They're daring enough to talk about them in a degrading way. My goodness. And they don't even know what they're talking about because they don't know anything about it other than what the Bible reveals, which is little. Listen to this. They revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But here they are talking bad about angels. But angels don't do the same toward them. There's one that did. His name is Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's there every day accusing. Listen, but these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge. See, they don't know anything about what they're talking about. You ever know people like that? They got something to say about anything from ditch digging to brain surgery. It don't make a difference what you're talking about. They know about it. They know something about it. Well, that's what these people are doing. They're talking about whatever, and they have no idea what they're saying. I think it's just to make themselves look big or look good. Listen to this. But it says, they're creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Their mouths are going to destroy them. Their mouths are the only destruction they could bring to an angelic being, and it's going to destroy them in the process. Suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you. I'm going to stop right there. That's enough. I've got a good picture. This is what we're talking about. These are spiritual leaders. Are you joking me? In the church, they are not leading in the ways of God. They are teaching doctrines of demons. All people recognize at least some standard of right and wrong, and have a sense of shame when they violate that standard. Most generally, they try to hide their wrongdoing. Ain't that the truth? They may continue to go back to the wrong, but still recognize it as wrong or something they shouldn't be doing. So their conscience will not allow them to be comfortable in their deed. Thank God for conscience. People are on they're on a mission to destroy the conscience of humanity. We know who's at the helm, but there's a lot of helpers along the way. And you want to know something? If you don't know Christ, you're one of those helpers. Because you're going to do whatever you want to do, whether you got a conscience or not. Okay? Let's listen. But these people continue indulging in their sinful desires, and they overrule their conscience and train themselves to do evil and to ignore guilt. My goodness, that describes me. The way I was. My natural state. That's what we do. We just keep doing the same stuff. We know it's wrong. This is before we knew Christ. Have an understanding of what we need to do. But you can see yourself here. You know that's where you were. They continue to indulge in their sinful desires, and they overrule their conscience and train themselves to do evil and to ignore guilt. They eventually reject the standards of right and conscience. The standards of right and conscience. and determine to live solely by their own desires, which reveal a seared, calloused conscience. You see, if you do something long enough, it's going to do irreparable damage. They now have rejected all divine guidelines and protection and have become depraved in mind, giving themselves over to sensuality with greediness. You have to realize that greediness and sensuality go together. I'm going to say it again a little bit later, but they both go together. The more sensuality is involved, the greedier you get for more of it. Greed, greed, greed. They care nothing about what other people think. I'm thinking about our own society today and all of the ignorance, or whatever you want to call it, of the Supreme Court and others, you know, involved in trying to reinterpret what the Bible says and the Constitution and everything else going down the pike that has any meaning whatsoever in the Bible, just trying to do it all. This fits our society to a T. They only care about satisfying the cravings of their own warped mind. They don't care what anybody thinks, let alone what God thinks. No care whatsoever. They just want to satisfy their own cravings of all that stuff they think about in their minds. Say, boy, wouldn't this be wonderful? I need to try this because I know I'm going to get something, a good feeling or something out of it. You know, it's just something I want to do, and I'm not going to be satisfied until I do it. No matter how depraved it is, I need to try it. That's just the way people are without Christ. This is the world in which we live. This is the world in which we live. Ungodliness and immorality destroy the mind. Ungodliness. That is life without God. And coupled with that, immorality. We all know what that is. It destroys the mind, the conscience, and spirit. When you reject God, His righteousness, and truth, the final result is what the Apostle Paul calls a depraved mind in Romans 1:28. A depraved mind. A mind that is no mind. I don't know how else. I see the looks out there. What do you do with a mind? You think with it. It's past that capacity to even think properly. It's a mindless mind. It's just there, but it's worthless for any good whatsoever. A mind that is no mind, that cannot reason or think clearly or recognize God's truth and lose contact with spiritual reality, maybe even total reality, total loss of being able to comprehend what's real. How many times have we heard of those people who have made the big time only to be destroyed by mindless self-indulgence, losing career, sanity and often their lives because of non-restrained, out-of-control sensuality. You've heard it time and time and time again. I got news for you. You don't even have to have made it to the big time. You can indulge in that no matter what social status you're in. And people do it. Sometimes it costs them their life. When indecency becomes a way of life, every part of life is affected by corruption, distortion, and eventually destruction. That's what you got. The end result is destruction. And the worst part of it is, it could be eternal destruction. Separation. Pain. Suffering. Burning. The corruptions of our present day are not the result of psychological or sociological circumstances. There are a lot of politicians that would like to shove that down America's throats, but that's not what it is at all. It's a complete turning away from God and His standard for life. Did you know that human beings were not created by human beings? It's kind of like this. Pastor Andy, you're going to enjoy this one. Shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. It's on the same order as that. God made human beings. Human beings don't, they procreate. I'm not saying that. That's something God set in order. But God creates humanity. He creates life. He is life. He created life. It's not psychological or sociological. That's not the problem. It's like I said, the politicians like to make you believe that, but that's not true. It is an absolute turning away from God and His standard for life. And the family unit being destroyed where there's not a godly parent to be found anywhere. And the kids are just running wherever they want to go. And their family become the gangs. And their friends become drugs. It's not psychological and it's not sociological. It's a spiritual problem. It's a heart problem. And it starts with the parents. The corruptions of our present day are not the result of psychological or sociological circumstances, but the result of personal choices based on principles that are purposely against God and His way. Man is made for God and designed according to God's own standards. When God and His standards are rejected, man destroys himself in the process. We see it time and time again. How many generations of human beings have there been, and they've all went down the same road? You'd think somebody'd learn something sometime, wouldn't you? We've got people that's got degrees 8 miles long, and they don't know squat. I've got nothing against an education. You can have as many letters behind your name as you want. I've self put some letters behind my name. You want to hear them? P and T, SST and PTP. P and T is pastor and teacher. SST is Sunday school teacher. And PTP is praise team participant. So I've got some letters too. It don't mean a whole lot to a lot of people, I'm sure, but just because you got a bunch of letters behind your name don't mean anything. Educated idiot, does that ring a bell or two? So we're in a sorry state of affairs. The rapid growth in mental illness today in large part can be laid at the feet of increased, unrestrained sensuality. And that happens because of the brokenness of the family unit and the disregard of God and His way of life. Mental illness. I get so fed up with listening to these politicians about the gun issues and everything. Oh, well, it's mental illness that's causing all this stuff. People to shoot people and all that. No, it's sin that causes that. Need to get things right with God. Starting with you, Mr. Politician. Let's be setting an example. Okay? Uh-oh. Homosexuality, sexual perversion, abortion, lying, cheating, stealing, murder, and every other kind of moral degeneration has become that calloused way of life through the conscious choice of those who indulge in them. However, because everyone has rights, that's another one that cuts me to the chase. However, because everyone has rights, this type of lifestyle is widely accepted in this world. Can I go back and read off what I just said? I don't want you to lose anything. Homosexuality, sexual perversion, abortion, lying, cheating, stealing, murder, and every other kind of moral degeneration is widely accepted in this world. Our highest court in the land and statewide courts following suit can ensure that you have the right to die in your depravity. That's ungodly in its own self. These are people that are supposed to be upholding righteousness. My goodness. But they ensure that you have the right to die in your depravity. Instead of upholding those moral restraints and keeping moral order, they've opened up the door for civil unrest, the likes that has never been seen before. Ergasia is a Greek word that can refer to a business enterprise and could apply here in this area that we're speaking. The ungodly person often makes business out of every kind of impurity. I think you know where I'm going. The ungodly person often makes business out of every kind of impurity. A Christian leader once said that many of the books published in the United States today rival the drippings of a broken sewer. Excuse me. But pornography, prostitution, X-rated films, double X-rated films, triple X-rated films, quadruple X, however many X's you want to put in front of it, I'm sure they exist. Suggestive TV programs and every kind of impurity could possibly be the largest industry in our country. The vast majority of it is open, unashamed, and legally protected. An article in Forbes magazine, check this out, in September 1978, pages 81 to 92, entitled "The X-Rated Economy." It began by stating the obvious that pornography is no longer an illegal business. The market for pornography is not confined to perverts or other emotional cripples. To the contrary, the largest part of the market is middle-class people. In an increasingly permissive society, those who enjoy pornography are free to revel in it. The surprising revelation was that according to one official estimate, the nation's pornographers do more than $4 billion worth of business a year. How long is the unemployment line for legitimate work? $4 billion. More than the combined incomes of the often supportive movie and music industry. They have little sex stuff in that too. But it's more than four times. Listen. Other estimates place the total pornographic business, including a large segment of the growing home video market, at three times that much. $12 billion a year. Where does people get the money? Donald Trump? Excuse me. I mean, where do they get the money? Where? I probably shouldn't have said that. Lord, please forgive me. He needs to get saved. Just like a lot of other people I know. Impurity is inseparable from greediness. It is unbounded covetousness and uninhibited lust for that which is wanted. Greediness and sensuality. An uninhibited lust for that which is wanted. Immorality has no part in love. Somehow those two try to get connected. You know what I'm saying? All the different parts of immorality, it's connected to love somehow. It is not connected at all. Immorality has no part in love. Anything that the sensual person does under the guise of caring and being helpful is but a ruse for exploitation. That's to take advantage for one's own profit. The world of sensuality and impurity is the world of greediness. Greediness is no less than idolatry. Turn with me to Colossians. Turn back to Colossians there. And chapter 3 and verse 5. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he quotes this. Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Now he's talking about the believer. You consider yourself dead to immorality. It has no control over you. Listen to this. Impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Greediness, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire is idolatry. It's another God. What did God say in the Ten Commandments, the very first one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not give in to them. They shall not have any rule over you. There's only one God. When a person determines to think and to do his own way, and pursue his own destiny, he cuts himself off from God. If you want to do it your own way, if you want to have it your way, I'm not talking about Burger King. I'm going to do it my way. I think you know what I'm saying. Yeah, that's it. You cut yourself off. from God when you want to do things your way. See, that's our natural order of business. That's what, when we start making decisions, when we're capable of making decisions, that's what we do. We do things our way, the way we want to do them, because we think that they're the best thing for us, because we know what's best, right? Wrong. We come to know that a little bit later. No, we don't know what's best for us, but God does. And he's already set that standard out. And the only way that we can be involved in that righteous standard is for God to do a work in our life. It's him that pursues us. He is the one that initiates everything. He pursues us. He calls and draws us to himself. He does that saving work, that regenerating work in our life, and makes us the person he wants us to be. We cannot do it on our own. What we do on our own is to do our own thing the way we want to do it. Think the way that we want to think. When a person does that, he cuts himself off from truth and becomes spiritually blind and without those standards of morality. Without morality, immorality becomes a callous, shameful way of life. And when that is continued, it destroys the mind's ability to distinguish good from evil, what's true and what's false, what's real and what's not. The godless life becomes the mindless life. You have no capacity to make a right choice of any kind. You're just dead in water. You can't do anything. How bad is that? This is the direction that every unbeliever is headed. But there's hope. You know, the Lord don't tell us all of this bad news and leave us with nowhere to go. He always directs us back to himself. Jesus said, and you know our society says there's all these different belief systems out here. Pastor Andy was sharing those with us here a while back, and there's even more than what he even touched. But they all believe that all roads end up the same place. Doesn't make any difference what you believe, how you believe, or whatever. All roads lead to heaven. That is a lie straight from hell. Jesus Christ is God. The God who created the universe. The God who created this earth and everything that's on it, and his prized creation is humanity. Believe it or not. It's the only creation that is, he created in his own likeness and image. This is what he says in John 14:6. I am the way. There's not many ways that leads to God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. You got to go through Christ to get to God, which is in heaven. That is the truth. The truth spoke that truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, and he is the life. This is the direction that every unbeliever is headed. That everyone would not reach the extremes that Paul cites in these verses that we have read, 17 to 19 in Ephesians 4. Is only because of the common grace that is given to the just and the unjust. You know, it rains on the just and the unjust. You know, the people that don't disregard God, they eat too. They're able to grow crops. Do you notice that? They're able to go to work, hold down a job, do whatever it is they want to do. They're able to do that. But the only reason they're able to do that is because of the common grace that God gives to His people. We live on the same planet that they do. And they don't realize it's the blessing of God is the reason they're able to wake up in the morning and go to work and have a job. And are able to enjoy the sunshine and the swimming pool or the swimming hole or whatever it is that they do. It's because of the common grace of God. He loves the sinners too. He loved me. I'm a sinner. I'm a born again sinner. It's only because of the common grace that is given to the just and the unjust, the preserving influence of the Holy Spirit and of the church. That's the only thing that's going to keep people from going to the extreme in their sin and end up with a mind that cannot comprehend. God's grace, the preserving influence of His Holy Spirit, and the influence of His church. You think you don't have anything to do? Yeah, we got plenty to do as the church. We're a preserving influence of this. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to give you passages of Scripture, and you can look at them your own self. But Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. Salt's a preservative. That's the reason He told us that. It's also flavoring, too. Gives flavoring. Matthew 5:45, Job 34:14-15, and Matthew 5:13 are three passages of Scriptures that deal with those things. God's common grace, with the preserving influence of the Holy Spirit and the preserving influence of the church. I'll give them to you again. Matthew 5:45, if you want to write them down. Matthew 5:45, Job 34:14-15, Matthew 5:13. Now, through all of this, Job 34:14-15. Through all this, we see what the born-again believer is not, what the life is not. We've seen the corruption of an unregenerate, lost, ungodly lifestyle, pagan lifestyle, the way the world lives. This is not, I repeat, this is not the lifestyle of the born-again believer. If a man is in Christ, if he's born again, if he's saved, he's a new creation in Christ. And the Lord tarries His coming, and He allows us to live. Next Sunday, that's where we're headed. Because the passage of Scripture is just that. You did not learn Christ in this way. Stand with me, please.